Honorable Madam Speaker, colleagues, members of us on the other side, my fellow St. Lucians, I must extend a very special salutation to the people of the constituency of Ancillary Canneries, who have given me this privilege, and with honor I accept to represent them in this honorable house. Madam Speaker, I wish to apologize in advance because I'm developing a sore throat and I may be using some water time and time again. Vasco's water. Madam Speaker, as Minister of Health, Wellness, National Mobilization, Gender Relations, Human Services and Family Affairs, Madam Speaker, health is an important ministry. Health is a very tough ministry. The reason for toughness, Madam Speaker, is because the demands on health from the people that you serve in most countries, Madam Speaker, finance is the problem. And St. Lucia is no exception to this. Madam Speaker, when you speak of health, you speak of development. Because, Madam Speaker, health goes hand in hand with development. When you speak of tourism, Madam Speaker, you speak of health. Because, Madam Speaker, the tourists would like to know that when they visit an island, that if something happens to them on this island, that their health is not in jeopardy. And Madam Speaker, at this point in time in the development of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, you see the condominiums that are built in the north and all over St. Lucia, condominiums in excess of $1 million US and more, $500,000 US and more. Madam, these are not regular people that buy these condominiums, Madam Speaker. These are wealthy people. And Madam Speaker, these people too will want to know that if they invest this kind of money on an island, that this island provides them with a health care that they will be pleased with, and they know that they stand a second chance before going back home. Madam Speaker, more so, I think that it's a right of every St. Lucian to have proper health care. And I think, Madam Speaker, what most St. Lucians want is a health system that when they enter the institutions that provide health care, they stand a very good chance of being well and returning to their families. And Madam Speaker, what most of all is that if they happen to leave this institution and not return and be dead, Madam Speaker, they want to know that everything possible was done and nothing better could have been done anywhere else. This is the sort of system that this administration is aiming for. Madam Speaker, the views on health today has changed. There is a new approach on health. It is a holistic approach. And we have to involve every single ministry to give us the type of health system that we so deserve. We need agriculture because, Madam Speaker, we need to know what foods that our Ministry of Agriculture is encouraging our farmers to grow, because nutrition plays a big part in good health. We need to grow the right foods, Madam Speaker, and we need to be instructed by our Ministry of Health. You see, during this budget debate, Madam Speaker, a lot of emphasis has been placed on health, on agriculture. Madam Speaker, we need trade. We need to know that we're importing the right foods into this island to provide for our people here. Madam Speaker, we need education because we need to educate our people as to the right way to live, the right way to have our physical education, and we need to pass on the information that we have to avoid improper health. Madam Speaker, my government has taken the approach of primary health care. And primary health care is the most cost-effective way of avoiding disaster and expensive health systems. But Madam Speaker, before I go, I want to just respond to a few comments that were made during this debate. Madam Speaker, the representative for South Castries made a comment about crime and the English policemen that were hired by this former administration. First of all, Madam Speaker, I was a little bit surprised. I was looking at this member, and I thought there was such a change. I thought there was a metamorphosis going on with this member. Madam Speaker, this member's voice has changed. His body motion has changed, Madam Speaker. There was a little bird that told me that he got a dose of testosterone from the representative of Sufre. I think, Madam Speaker, that we went a little further with the representative of East Castries, who gave him a homemade feral compound made by Barat. Because, Madam Speaker, when he says that the English policemen were not brought here to run this police force, Madam Speaker, I was Minister of Home Affairs and National Security. When I went into this ministry, Madam Speaker, we all know the police force that we had. We all know the problems that we had in the prisons. Madam Speaker, for 10 years, this former administration has been trying to dangle this crime. And this was the reason why, Madam Speaker, they brought in the 10 British policemen. But Madam Speaker, as I said before on platform time and time again, Madam Speaker, the reason why the previous administration is now on the other side, because they talk the talk, but they never walk the walk. Madam Speaker, I have said time and again that this former administration could not manage the affairs or manage anything that the St. Lucian people belong to St. Lucia. The representative for Labrie made a statement that says that it takes skill to borrow and manage. And Madam Speaker, I would like to inform the member for South Castries that it's after I took these very 10 British policemen. When I came in, Madam Speaker, they were frustrated because they were doing nothing. And I organized them, Madam Speaker. I structured the police force, the management of the police force, and Madam Speaker, the result speaks for itself. We had a reduction in crime, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, because my government believes in primary care, we have taken the opportunity and the initiative to make sure that our facilities that provide primary care has the atmosphere of wellness and also gives the workers in there an atmosphere that they're willing to work. Madam Speaker, we have 32 health centers on the island of St. Lucia. In 2002, a condition survey was done by the former administration to improve the quality of health care and the working environment. Madam Speaker, this project began in 2004. They found out that we needed immediate attention to 15 of our hospitals. Madam Speaker, to the health centers. Madam Speaker, in 2002, they found out what we needed. It took them 2 years in 2004 to begin. In the financial year of 2006-2007, 5 health centers were done. In the financial year of 2007-2008, 9 health centers were done. Canneries is still incomplete. The reason why Canneries is still incomplete is because there are many issues to be dealt with. But by August of 2008, we will have completed Canneries. By the end of December 2008, Madam Speaker, we would have completed the 15 hospitals, the 15 health centers, Madam Speaker. The financing of these institutions, Madam Speaker, were from various governments, from various institutions, including the Commercial government. Madam Speaker, I will come to that. Madam Speaker, what I'm trying to show you here, Madam Speaker, is performance, Madam Speaker, by this government. This previous administration found out the problem in 2002, acted on it in 2004, left in 2006, Madam Speaker, and yet the job was not done, Madam Speaker. But this administration from the United Workers Party had 5 done in the year. Remember, Madam Speaker, we were elected December 11, 2006. By 2006 and 2007, we had done 5. By 2007 and 2008, we had done 9, Madam Speaker. And this is why, Madam Speaker, I would say to the members on the opposite side, that when they say that 7 hotels cannot be built and this cannot be done and this cannot be done, this is performance, Madam Speaker. This is what they have to look at. This is the record that they have to go by. Madam Speaker, some of these hospitals were the Bellevue Health Center, the Bellevue Health Center, Grandview Health Center, Farstor Health Center, Constantiac Health Center, Larichus Health Center, Bongrouge Health Center, Grace and Derisso Health Centers, Richford, La Flamengo and Bexar Health Centers, Monripo and Miku Health Centers. Lattery also, Madam Speaker, and as I said, Canneries is still to be done. Madam Speaker, this does not stop us here. We did a second assessment, and we've added 5 additional health centers which were earmarked for repairs this year, Madam Speaker. This is Mashi, Tiroche, Nikud, Anslorelien, and Labu. Moshi, Tiroche, Miku, and Labri are at the contract awarding stage. Anslore is in the final design stage. Madam Speaker, we've gone one step further. Through the BNTF funds, Madam Speaker, we are constructing a health center in the Vanna area. Madam Speaker, Vanna has been left without a health center for approximately 5 years. And now, Madam Speaker, with this government in place and their representative, the Honorable Madam Speaker, we have started construction of this health center in Vanna. And it will be a model health center, Madam Speaker, because there are lots of things that we are going to put in there that was not there before in the old type of health center. Also, Madam Speaker, we will be doing Saltibus. In this budget allocation, Madam Speaker, we have allowed for 10 further health centers to be refurbished. Taking care of primary care is this nation's business and this government's business. Madam Speaker, not only this, Madam Speaker, we are going to put into these health centers, we have developed a national health information system, whereby, Madam Speaker, all these hospitals, all these health centers will be connected to the general hospital, the hospitals, and every other place where health care is given. And you will have instant information with regards to patients. Madam Speaker, these health centers in the past have had their problems. We have had complaints from patients losing confidence in these health centers. he was complaining that the kind of examination that was given to them by the doctors serving these health centers were not adequate. As a result of this, Madam Speaker, many of these people would flood to the Victoria Hospital, crowding the emergency because of lack of confidence in the health center for the delivery of the health care that they so deserve. But this administration, Madam Speaker, will change things around. Because, Madam Speaker, most of these doctors are on part-time contracts. And they spend half a day, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is, in these health centers, and they go back to their regular offices. The policy of this government, Madam Speaker, is to stop it. We are not renewing any contract on a partial basis. Because we believe, Madam Speaker, that the people of St. Lucia deserve proper care and they must be satisfied with the taxes that they pay to the people that they pay these salaries. So we are having doctors on a full-time basis because, Madam Speaker, we have enough medical doctors in St. Lucia now with the help of the Cuban training, and otherwise we have enough medical doctors around now that we can stop this old habit and bring in something new, which will satisfy the people in St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, not only this in these health centers, Madam Speaker, we are also looking at maybe changing the name of these health centers to wellness centers. Because health centers, Madam Speaker, has a connotation, but when you're wellness, or when you come there, Madam Speaker, you know you're coming to get well. Madam Speaker, one of the problems we have in these health centers, we are a little bit understaffed, but we are hoping that we will staff it proper. Because one of the problems we have, Madam Speaker, is people not taking their medication or people not complying with the medication. We will have in these health centers, Madam Speaker, people that will go to the homes where it's needed to monitor those people and make sure that they take their medication. But Madam Speaker, the problem with this is everything costs money. And I say to you, Madam Speaker, that the health system in St. Lucia is no different to anywhere else. It's difficult. The finances are not always there for everything. But this minister and my government believe that with the little bit that we have, we can go to our international friends and raise money, raise many things, Madam Speaker, to help with the system. Madam Speaker, it's only been a very short time that I have been the Minister of Health, 6 months. And Madam Speaker, from the few seminars and conferences that I've been, Madam Speaker, I will list some of the things that I've brought back to this land. Because Madam Speaker, I am confident that we can get aid from our friends around. Because Madam Speaker, look at mental health, Madam Speaker. I went to PAHO. At a meeting in PAHO, PAHO is the Pan-American Health Organization. And I made contact with various people from various countries. I made a contact, Madam Speaker, with the Minister of Health of Canada. And Madam Speaker, speaking and negotiating, Madam Speaker, they came down, you saw them on the news. And Madam Speaker, presently as we speak, we have started training our people for the mental, for the psychiatric hospital that you hear so much about, Madam Speaker. We have a second batch of professors and workers from the University of Dalhousie, Nova Scotia, who will be coming down to give the training, Madam Speaker. They have a fast-track training, Madam Speaker, that they have now applied in Guyana, and they're going to do that down there for us. And also, Madam Speaker, it's not the four walls of a building that make it a hospital. It's the outline and the programs. And they are going to be giving us, helping us with this, Madam Speaker. This is what we call, Madam Speaker, this is what we call planning, Madam Speaker. And this is what the last administration had, no planning. So before the hospital is finished, Madam Speaker, we have started training our people. Also, Madam Speaker, they will be helping us to an extent. I made some contacts, Madam Speaker, also with the United States and Britain, and asking them to take some of our young doctors and specialize them. And I thought we should have started this program, Madam Speaker, as soon as possible, because, Madam Speaker, if it's going to take us 4 to 5 years to construct a hospital, it takes you 3 to 4 years to have a specialization done. Madam Speaker, we have taken stock of the kind of specializations we need in our hospital. and we are now on the process of picking students. We will now have a group looking at the students that are here in the hospital, in the health center, and pick the best to send them to specialize. We are planning, Madam Speaker. This is what the last administration could not do. They were myopic, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, it's not just health, Madam Speaker. Nutrition plays a very important part in health, Madam Speaker. And what I'm going to say to you, Madam Speaker, our group, our health group, our the conditions that we have, that we are faced with, Madam Speaker, our biggest killer is the non-communicable diseases like diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular problems. And Madam Speaker, it is shocking to know that our third largest killer is violence, domestic violence, car injuries. Because Madam Speaker, there's a big cost on the health system. Because when you have a car accident or you have someone stabbing someone and leaving him disabled, Madam Speaker, many a time you've created a burden on the family of this person. Not only the family of this person, Madam Speaker, but also the government. Because if the family cannot take care of this person, Madam Speaker, the government must. It's an obligation. Madam Speaker, you see it all over. In the psychiatric hospital, Madam Speaker, you see people denied of taking them back to the family when they are discharged. They have to stay there, Madam Speaker. In the Victoria Hospital, you see people are being discharged, but the family cannot manage. Those people have to stay in the hospital. So, Madam Speaker, it is very important that we take and we pay attention to these injuries because they are very costly on our health system. Madam Speaker, our nutritional unit has and will be engaged in the promotion of health, good health eating. Healthy eating, Madam Speaker. Their mission statement is to provide public education and advice on proper nutrition. It encourages the public to, first of all, eat fewer calories, be more physically active, eat a healthy diet by making wiser food choices. And I see the opposition leader looking and listening very carefully, Madam Speaker, because Madam Speaker, this relates very closely. It touches home, Madam Speaker, and I'm very happy to do that. Madam Speaker, we have to prepare them to handle food, to reduce risk of foodborne illnesses. Madam Speaker, we have to instruct them to visit the doctors regularly for early detection and save lives. Madam Speaker, you know nowadays a large portion of our male citizens have the problem of prostate cancer. This is becoming more popular and more popular, Madam Speaker. And this is something, Madam Speaker, with early detection, you can save your life. Madam Speaker, not only just ourselves, Madam Speaker, when you talk of health, but we want to look at our ports, Madam Speaker. Because when you talk of tourism, and when you talk of airplane bringing tourists to your shores, Madam Speaker, you have to protect your ports. Madam Speaker, we established a port health program during World Cup Cricket 2007. The goal of this program was to protect nationals and visitors to St. Lucia from international threats to public health. Two officers were sent to Barbados to train in port health. But Madam Speaker, due to the lack of funding, this program was dismantled in June 2007. And presently, we are looking for more funding to continue this program. This is very important, Madam Speaker, because Madam Speaker, when you look at what happens, the number of tourists that comes through our shores, Madam Speaker, we must protect them because, Madam Speaker, this is how, by transportation, birds transport diseases from place to place. And people also transport diseases from place to place. So, Madam Speaker, it is important that we have a good process program that will protect our people from an outbreak. To do this, Madam Speaker, we have invested as a nation into a system called the National Health Information System. Madam Speaker, this system will take us to a new level. It is a system, Madam Speaker, that links every single health institution in St. Lucia, health centers, hospitals, doctor's offices. The project, Madam Speaker, was financed by World Bank, the National AIDS Project Secretariat, loans from NIC, loans from the government of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, this program cost us about close to $1 million EC. The contract was given to a company called Access Tech. They developed the software and the modules, Madam Speaker, for this program. And Madam Speaker, I want to say one thing. When I came as Minister of Health, I found such a thing sitting on the shelves. Madam Speaker, I called to the attention of the staff. And this is where it all starts, Madam Speaker. Because, Madam Speaker, when I understood that, when I got a call from the contractors in Canada and saying to me that in March of this year, the warranty on the program would be running out. And Madam Speaker, we had the obligation to link up all our outlets, or the health centers and the hospitals, so we can test the program. And Madam Speaker, believe it or not, Madam Speaker, I was on my roller skates, because when I saw the amount of money that we may have lost, because I know, Madam Speaker, when warranties run out, it costs you a lot of money. And this is where contractors make their money, because now they figure it's your fault. So we're quickly hurrying. We have sent some people to Canada to train. We sent five of them to Canada to train to make sure that when they come back here, they can man the system, they can alter the system, and they can train the people down here locally. The benefit of this system, Madam Speaker, is that you get better management of patients. You will not get you will reduce duplication of medication. Madam Speaker, we have a program where we give free medication to people with diabetes and hypertension. But Madam Speaker, what these people do? Someone would go to Miku and get medication. They will come up to Castries and get medication again. And moving around, Madam Speaker, and this is a tremendous cost to this government. So Madam Speaker, this system, wherever you go, Madam Speaker, your file will be pulled up, and we will know where you got your last medication, what you got, how you got it, so it will reduce costs to us, Madam Speaker. Yes, yes, that was an initiative. I give you that credit. But I say to you, like everything else, you cannot manage what you have. Because if I did not come in, Madam Speaker, at this point in time, we would have not saved the guarantee. And Madam Speaker, it goes on and on in this ministry, on and on. Madam Speaker, one of the most important things about this system, Madam Speaker, is that we can tell from just a computer, looking at a computer screen, we can tell what areas in St. Lucia that people suffer most with diabetes, that people suffer most with hypertension, that people are suffering most with TB, and all sorts of conditions. And Madam Speaker, when this information is received, you can get very quickly to treat and monitor these areas and put your handle on it, Madam Speaker. And what, most of all, Madam Speaker, what I like about the system is too, Madam Speaker, it links us internationally, Madam Speaker. If a doctor in St. Lucia has difficulty with a diagnosis, Madam Speaker, he could link with a doctor overseas, and between the two of them, they can find out what this person is suffering from. Not only that, Madam Speaker, but this system, Madam Speaker, if someone is traveling, like you see people travel to Martinique, Madam Speaker, and they go along with their x-rays, their medical records, and everything in a parcel, and sometimes it never returns to St. Lucia. But what would happen, Madam Speaker? With this system, Madam Speaker, we will give the patient a code, and they, when they go overseas, their doctor or their institution, the health institution where they go to, will put that code in their computer, and the entire file on the person's medical record will come up, Madam Speaker. This is taking us places, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, this ministry is leading that in the Caribbean, Madam. One of it is in the Caribbean, Madam Speaker. Because now, Madam Speaker, we are like an example. I went to St. Kitts, Madam Speaker, and they are waiting to see how it works for us, Madam Speaker, before they invest in it. So this is a good thing, Madam Speaker. I love it. Madam Speaker, one of our centers is the hospitals, Madam Speaker. We know, Madam Speaker, that we need improvement in our hospitals. But, Madam Speaker, we are about to do that. Victoria Hospital, Madam Speaker, you remember a few years ago, Madam Speaker, we had people complaining of no medication in the hospital. We had people complaining that they were spending too long in the emergency to get service, Madam Speaker. We had people complaining that there were not bedsheets in the hospital. But Madam Speaker, since this administration, Madam Speaker, I remember the last year before election, because I was the shadow, I was the health critic in the United Workers' Party at one time, Madam Speaker. I remember going to this hospital to try and get this information firsthand, Madam Speaker, so I'm aware of that. But Madam Speaker, since this administration has taken the power, Madam Speaker, things have changed. Things have not changed for the best, Madam Speaker, but things have changed. Certain things were done in the Victoria Hospital. We had some permanent appointments for a number of doctors in various areas. Madam Speaker, one of the things is this. In any health institution, you need continuity. And because of the previous shortage of doctors and consultants, you had to do with what you had. But now, Madam Speaker, with the supply of doctors, we are moving away from that in the health centers, Madam Speaker, and also we are trying to move away from this in the hospitals. So as a result of this, we have made some permanent appointments for various doctors in various areas. We have improved on our nursing staff. Madam Speaker, we still have room for improvement, but we have improved on that, Madam Speaker. A drug and therapeutic committee was formed as a result to patients to give them better care. This unit goes around and makes sure that the drugs are taken, the medication is taken by the patient, the medication is administered at the right time, and things like that, Madam Speaker. We have had the pleasure, Madam Speaker, of help from the Taiwanese government, Madam Speaker, to refurbish Ward 6, a ward which was there for the last 12 years, Madam Speaker. Nothing was done from the Ward 6, Madam, such a big ward. Madam Speaker, Ward 9 is it? 9 years, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, you wonder, when the people and the administration in the hospital were asking for more beds, some people interpreted as more beds, but we need more space for beds, Madam Speaker. You wonder what the last administration was doing, or what the last administration was doing for 9 years. Never saw the need to fix this ward to increase the bed capacity. We also had the opportunity, Madam Speaker, to be fortunate enough to have the children's ward donated for repairs by the Taiwanese government. So, Madam Speaker, Victoria Hospital still needs more bed space. We still need better nurses, more nurses, and we still need many things, but Madam Speaker, with time, we will come to that. Madam Speaker, I want to just share with you some statistics. Madam Speaker, in 2005-2006, the allocation for Victoria Hospital by the previous administration was 23,182,967. Yes, Madam Speaker, in this estimate, in 2008-2009 estimate, Madam Speaker, it is 24,436,078. Madam Speaker, this would indicate to you that this administration has a sensitivity for the health of the people of St. Lucia. And as I said, Madam Speaker, we are increasing, but money is limited and we have to do with what we have. Madam Speaker, when we come to the Soufre Hospital, the last administration played around whether they wanted it to be a polyclinic or a hospital. We have to do a study out there, Madam Speaker, with the needs and to find out which way we're going to go, polyclinic or hospital. Madam Speaker, this hospital serves a population of about 67,000 people. This is extending from from Choiseul, Camrys, and Soufre. No, Madam Speaker, I stand corrected. It is not Soufre Hospital, Madam Speaker. This number is for the Beaufort St. Jude Hospital. So I stand corrected, Madam Speaker. Yes. The Soufre Hospital, Madam Speaker, is of importance to our tourist development. And we must be aware that at some times for a week, there could be in excess of 3,000 tourists coming through Soufre. We must be aware that an accident can happen with these catamarans going into Soufre. And Madam Speaker, this government will pay close attention and will give the results that we think after this survey has been carried out as to whether we go polyclinic or whether we go hospital. Madam Speaker, I had an experience in the Soufre Hospital two years ago. There was a fight on a catamaran, Madam Speaker, and two young guys hit one another with a bottle, and one hit one with a bottle in his eye. I happened to be there at the same time, Madam Speaker, and they brought him to the Soufre Hospital. But the doctor in attendance did not have very good knowledge about eyeballs. So when I came there, I was able to assist and give her some direction as to what she would do with this boy. Madam Speaker, if we did not do that, Madam Speaker, this young man may have lost his eye. So, Madam Speaker, we have to take into account, as I said, what are we going to do with this hospital? This year, we have allocated 1,015,805 towards the running of this hospital. But we have also, with the new budget, allocated $500,000 for the upgrading of the hospital. We have another hospital, the Denry Hospital. The very same thing will happen, Madam Speaker. We will have a survey carried out to find out whether we need to continue as a hospital or what we will do. We have allocated in this budget, Madam Speaker, $763,696. For the running of this hospital. Turning point, Madam Speaker. During the time the center was closed, it underwent major physical refurbishment, both internal and external, and replacement of furniture and equipment was done. The center reopened May to December 2007. 47 persons underwent rehabilitation care. The majority acquired therapeutic discharge. A comprehensive clinical program was maintained despite staff constraints. Madam Speaker, there too is very important. And Madam Speaker, as you said, staff is the problem. But Madam Speaker, we are trying very, very hard to see how we can solve the problem of staffing. And we are trying to raise funds and see how we can accommodate this. Madam Speaker, our next spot in terms of hospital is the St. Jude's Hospital. The St. Jude's Hospital is a hospital with about 88 beds, Madam Speaker. But, Madam Speaker, it has had its problems. And one misunderstands, Madam Speaker, though it comes under the government of St. Lucia, it is a statutory body and it is governed by a board. The board determines the operations of this hospital. And Madam Speaker, the board determines the management and how things are done in this hospital. But this government gives to this institution a subvention. Madam Speaker, when I took over this Ministry of Health 6 months ago, I found this hospital in serious problems. I found this hospital not being able to pay its bills in terms of medicine. There was a deficit, Madam Speaker, of over $1 million in outstanding medical bills. I found this hospital needing some form of care. Madam Speaker, this government, I went to this government, Madam Speaker, and we allocated $700,000 to this hospital on a condition, Madam Speaker, that they would allow us to do both a financial and a management audit. Because, Madam Speaker, as I have a report here from the director, they are asking for this sort of thing. So, Madam Speaker, we are nipping the problems in the bud. Some of the factors that affect the revenue, Madam Speaker, because they say, Madam Speaker, that they're in a location where the economic conditions there are not favorable. High unemployment, not enough jobs. They claim that because of the affluence of the area, they are having to give a lot of free care. Madam Speaker, we also have a plan for this hospital. Since we have quite a few offshore medical schools in St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, we are saying that we have to utilize one of our institutions. And we are saying that we will try to focus, we are doing work to see, we will try to focus and have this hospital as a teaching hospital, whereby these offshore schools will use the facility and they will pay a fee as a clinical fee, which will help in supporting the expenses of this hospital, Madam Speaker. And we are trying to ask them to try and locate in the south to make it easy for their students. There are many other plans, Madam Speaker, that we're going to be doing, but it's still in the making, and I cannot come out here and say everything yet because it's still very, very urgent. The Honorable Prime Minister, in his 2008-2009 budget, earmarked a number of projects for the South. St. Jude is the hub for the delivery of health service in the southern part of this island. St. Jude must be ably prepared and well positioned to meet the increases in public expectations for new and improved health and medical services. Strategic locations of St. Jude mandate that the institution should always be in a state of preparedness for eventualities, given its proximity to the Hironoro International Airport. The hospital needs much assistance to meet the new challenges on the horizon. And this new era of development thrust for the South, we have to take account of that. Madam Speaker, if you listen to the development in the South, the number of hotels, Madam Speaker, this is what we are speaking about. And what we intend to do, Madam Speaker, is to approach these developments and ask them, Madam Speaker, to help in financially with St. Jude, because, Madam Speaker, the tourists that they're going to bring into these hospitals, into these hotels, Madam Speaker, they need the services of St. Jude. So, Madam Speaker, they must be good corporate citizens. Madam Speaker, we are in the process of developing or building a new general hospital. And Madam Speaker, this hospital will be located on the Millennium, off the Millennium Highway. Madam Speaker, to the front of this hospital is our psychiatric complex. To the back of this hospital, Madam Speaker, or the psychiatric hospital, will be the general hospital. When these two complexes are completed, Madam Speaker, there will be a walkway between the two. Madam Speaker, but before this general hospital is built, Madam Speaker, there must be a retaining wall in front of the psychiatric hospital. And this retaining wall, Madam Speaker, is at a cost of $2 million. Madam Speaker, the agreement between the previous administration, that was the Labour Party government, and the Chinese government was that the Labour Party government promised to put the infrastructure, the walkways, the retaining walls, on the psychiatric complex. The Chinese waited for about 2 years, and nothing was forthcoming, Madam Speaker. Then they began to put these buildings just inside the mud. If you go there now, Madam Speaker, you will see erosion from under. Madam Speaker, this now holds back the development of the general hospital. And now, Madam Speaker, our Taiwanese friends will help us put this wall. Madam Speaker, this is what you call bad planning. Because, Madam Speaker, the monies to put these walls and to put these retaining walls and walkways should have been found by this previous administration. And this has held back quite a bit. I will give you a position that my government is taking with regards to the development of this general hospital. On page 45 of the Prime Minister's budget speech, I quote, "The new general hospital, originally designed for 105 beds, will be constructed and established as a medical-surgical center with approximately 85 beds in the short term. During this period, obstetrics and pediatric services would remain at the existing Victoria Hospital. That will be redeveloped and utilized as a maternal and child health center. In the medium term, these services provided at the Victoria Hospital would be moved to the new General Hospital after additional wings have been constructed to accommodate these facilities." End of quote. Madam Speaker, when I made some suggestions with regard to a psychiatric and general hospital, Madam Speaker, these were only suggestions as to the possibilities of the use of the institution that we have, this massive structure. Because, Madam Speaker, this past administration When I ask in my ministry, what is the cost of maintenance to this psychiatric hospital? Madam Speaker, up to this day, the people in my ministry have not been able to give me a cost analysis as to what it would cost for St. Lucian taxpayers to maintain the hospital. We will have that in about 3 or 4 weeks. But Madam Speaker, it was a suggestion of a number of suggestions as to the use of a complex. And Madam Speaker, you heard the representative of the library coming up with some statement which I never made. But Madam Speaker, there is a lesson to be learned from this, Madam Speaker. Because Madam Speaker, there is a lesson to be learned, and those on the opposite side, have they learned their lesson, and have they done things prudently and with some form of business sense, Madam Speaker, they would not be sitting on the opposite side today, Madam Speaker. Because, Madam Speaker, this is an institution that belongs to the people of St. Lucia. And all I was doing, Madam Speaker, is to give the St. Lucian people an opportunity to participate in the decision-making of the government. And, Madam Speaker, if the ADCOM administration had given the people of St. Lucia the opportunity to make such a decision, Madam Speaker, on the Rochemere case, Madam Speaker, the people of St. Lucia today will not be posted with $1 million, $100 million to a hotel where they do not own a concrete block on this hotel. Madam Speaker, the people must know the business of the country. This is what we are here, Madam Speaker. Transparency.
Madam Speaker, on a point of order, I was really enjoying the presentation of the Honourable Member, but he's just leaving the house. The government of St. Lucia never incurred $100 million in respect of the Rochemere Hotel. I repeat, as I've always said, the cost of runs were $12.5 million plus interest. The hard figure, I do not have the information at this time, but that's impossible to translate to $100 million. It is simply false and untrue and misleading.
Madam Speaker, this former administration did not have the foresight, like I did, to put things forward to the general public so they can make decisions with their business, Madam Speaker. This is the lesson. This is a new way of doing business, Madam Speaker, because if it was done, Madam Speaker, we now had an opportunity to listen to the people of St. Lucia. They gave us the guidance as to what they wanted, Madam Speaker. You must listen to the people, Madam Speaker, because if they had listened to the people, Madam Speaker, they would not be on the opposite side today, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, let me show you another thing again, the concerns of this government with regards to health. Madam Speaker, the Golden Hope Hospital. In 2005, 2006, the allocation by this previous administration was $2,056,923. Madam Speaker, in this estimate by this United Workers Party government, Madam Speaker, the allocation under all of moving this hospital from its location to the Millennium Highway, our allocation in this estimate, Madam Speaker, is $2,758,807, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, take into account that we are moving this hospital to another location. This is the concern of this administration for health, Madam Speaker. And when you look at St. Jude's, Madam Speaker, in 2005, 2006, the allocation was $9,316,195, Madam Speaker. But in this estimate, Madam Speaker, it is $10,381,717. And Madam Speaker, with the policies that we are going to adopt in St. Jude's, Madam Speaker, they are saying that on a break-even basis, they need $15 million to run this hospital comfortably. Madam Speaker, I'm assured with the changes in policy, Madam Speaker, this will be met.
Honourable Member, you have 10 more minutes within which to complete your presentation.
Half an hour.
Madam Speaker, I beg to invoke the Madam Speaker, I beg to invoke section 3210 to allow the Honourable Minister to complete his presentation with 1 hour. Within a half hour. Is it? Half hour? Within half hour, Madam Speaker.
Honourable members, the question is that standing order 3210 be invoked to allow the Minister for Health an additional half hour within which to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as are of opinion say aye.
Aye.
As many as are of a contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. You may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, some of the initiatives that we are taking in our health is that, Madam Speaker, it's very costly when people go across to North America or to Martinique to have certain procedures done. Madam Speaker, the cost is not so much the surgery, Madam Speaker. The cost is staying at these hospitals. Madam Speaker, some hospitals charge you $1,000 a day to lie on that bed. So, Madam Speaker, what we intend doing, that we intend developing what we call centers of excellence. Madam Speaker, what that would do, Madam Speaker, we would have the equipment. We would have the equipment all prepared. We would have our post-operative care. And what we would do is to invite these specialists into St. Lucia. And they would come down and would handle as many cases over that period of time. We would take care of the aftercare, and then, Madam Speaker, you would find there would be a big saving. This has been done very, very successful in Guyana this time. And heart surgery in Guyana is costing not very much now, Madam Speaker, from this. Also, Madam Speaker, we are having an increase in the cases of kidney failure. We need to expand our services. And we are hoping to develop a center in St. Jude's, because 30 to 40% of the people presently on the dialysis come from the south. Also, we are inviting some experts and some consultants. We're looking into ways of producing the liquid that they use during dialysis. This, if we can do that, we will be able to sell it to various other islands, and we will be reducing costs in our dialysis. We use a lot of gases in terms of oxygen, compressed air, nitrous oxide. And we are in the process of exploring. Also, we are pretty close because we have our numbers right, of establishing a plant to produce these gases. The cost of this plant, Madam Speaker, it's about $188,850. We purchase on a yearly basis 800,000 EC dollars in gases. $188,000. Within 1 year, if we were to have this plant, we'd have recouped the investment. We are also trying to take our facilities, because, Madam Speaker, with tourism, as I said, we need a standard. And we are in the process of accreditation of all our different institutions. Anguilla has done it. It's a 4-year process. And when we have done this, Madam Speaker, we will build more confidence in the tourists and investors that come to our shore. We are looking at our polyclinics, especially the one in Rosalie, to see if we can get a partner whereby we could expand on the services, because its location is in the hub of the tourist area, that we can use it with regard to tourist medicine. Because our visitors that come, if they need care, we could use this. So we are exploring that too, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, there are many things that we are exploring, and we are going to, after we have gotten the kind of information that we need, Madam Speaker, we will introduce it. We will not be reckless, and we will not make promises to the people of St. Lucia and not fulfill it in terms of health. The Division of Human Services and Family Affairs. We went through a restructuring period. The following policy and legislation documents are completed but need to be enacted. Some of the legislations we are awaiting enactment is the Child Care and Adoption Bill. This bill, Madam Speaker, protects children from abuse and neglect. It ensures the best interest of the child is given paramount consideration in all matters relating to the child. It provides guidelines for reporting, investigating, and making assessments in child abuse-related matters. It provides greater supervision of adoption procedures, protection of the welfare of the child is paramount. Another bill that another legislation that we await in enactment is the Child Justice Bill. This was established to protect the rights of children as provided for in the international instruments. It incorporates diversion of cases away from formal court procedures. It entrenches the motion of retroactive justice in respect of children. Domestic Violence Bill. This provides greater protection for victims of domestic violence. It makes provision for granting of protection orders. It protects the victims of domestic violence. Another legislation is the Family Law Guardianship, Custody, and Access of Children Bill. It defines and regulates the authority of parents as guardians of their children, whether or not born in wedlock. The power to appoint guardians and the powers of courts in relation to guardianship, custody, and access to children and related matters. The Spouse Maintenance Bill. This provides for the law relating to the maintenance of spouses during marriage and to provide connected and incidental matters. Some of the policies that we are waiting to enact on is policies of protocol for the management of child abuse and neglect. Another one is the policy for older persons. A third is the policy for persons with disability. A fourth is the policy and operations manual for the assessment and payment of public assistance, aging, and welfare services. We continue to get help from the non-governmental organization. They help us with 40 residents at the St. Lucie's home. They help us with 66 residents at the Marian home. They help us with 11 residents at the Villa St. Joseph. We are in the process of seeking support to develop a 5-year strategic plan of action to address policy of older persons and persons with disability. We have in place presently 100 children in foster homes. A transit home was refurbished to accommodate 21 children between the ages of 0 to 18 years. We are giving support to the 75 children who are orphans from HIV/AIDS and also to the 65 adults from the same infection, HIV/AIDS. The number of HIV positive cases as today, as of 2007, was 670. A treatment program is in place and it is cost-free. Madam Speaker, this gives you some indication of the direction and the efforts that are being made by this government to alleviate the problems with health. And Madam Speaker, we are hoping that things will get better. As I said again, Madam Speaker, as the Minister, I am not expecting my government to give all the monies that are required to establish the health system that we so desire. And this is why, Madam Speaker, we are looking forward to the help of our international friends, and there is a lot of help out there. Madam Speaker, I would like to touch a little bit on my constituency as to what has been done in this constituency over the last year and 13 months. Madam Speaker, the constituency, I have divided this constituency into three quadrants. The agricultural quadrant, which extends from Tetshina Millet, Monsizo, Warden, Jackmel, Roseau, Millet, Borando, Vanna, as the agricultural sector, or the agricultural quadrant. Ancillary, I have focused on tourism, a small amount of agriculture, and light industry. Canneries, tourism, a small amount of agriculture, and light industry. Madam Speaker, with the aid of our good friends from Taiwan, a lot has been done in this constituency. Presently, we are very sensitive and we know the importance of agriculture to our people. The crisis that we face in this world today of high prices of food, we know, Madam Speaker, that we have to be self-sufficient and we have to produce our own food and eat what we produce. We have introduced a project, the agricultural project for this constituency. We engaged in a number of greenhouses. These greenhouses are used to produce seedlings, which we distribute to all farmers, supporters of the United Workers Party, supporters of the Labour Party. Madam Speaker, to date, we have distributed in excess of 40,000 plant vegetables, cabbages, carrots, celery, cucumber, etc. And Madam Speaker, the good thing about it is this. We understand the pledge of the farmer. We understand the financial situation of the farmer. These seedlings were given to these farmers on a credit. And when they develop this crop, they will pay for the seedlings. Madam Speaker, we not just give the farmers, the seedlings. We have employed someone with an agricultural background on a full-time basis. And every Thursday, Madam Speaker, this individual with someone from the Ministry of Agriculture and one of the experts from the Taiwanese embassy would go and visit where these plants were planted and detect diseases that are affecting these plants to make sure that the farmer does not plant and it is destroyed by insects. Madam Speaker, this is diversification. Madam Speaker, the opposition spoke of diversification. As I said before, Madam Speaker, they talk a talk, but they cannot walk the walk. Madam Speaker, I'll go one step further. We don't believe in just putting things and using things like that. We are in the construction of a warehouse, which will warehouse fertilizer and chemicals that we will sell to these farmers. Not only that, Madam Speaker, foresight. We have added space to accommodate refrigeration. The refrigeration, they are here right now, Madam Speaker, and I would like to take a bus or something to take the members on the opposite side to see what vision is. To see what vision, Madam Speaker, to see what vision and to see management and not just dropping farmers and not taking care of the farmers. Madam Speaker, listen to this, Madam Speaker. And let the members on the opposite side learn a lesson, Madam Speaker. That is why they could not learn and they could not produce and deliver, Madam Speaker. And this is why they are on the opposite side. Madam Speaker, we have foresight, Madam Speaker. We have allowed room for refrigeration. Because you know vegetables, Madam Speaker. Vegetables, in a month, you're going to have a glut on the market. And a month later, you have nothing. So, Madam Speaker,
honorable members of Pasadena, yes, you will have a point of order.
Mansi, there's a point of
just one second, member. There are 3 mics on the feedback.
Point of clarification, Madam Speaker. I'm very impressed with the warehouse concept. I'd like to ask the honorable minister, can you show where is that in the estimate of expenditure? That is capital recurrence.
For my constituency, and I'm talking about health, external health, Madam Speaker. This is why they can't understand what is going on, Madam Speaker, and beyond. I told them in advance, Madam Speaker, that even on the health, we need external help. So, Madam Speaker, this will allow us to store the extra fruit and vegetables that these farmers will be producing. And when things are not in full production, we will be putting these vegetables on the market. But not only that, we have engaged through the marketing board. We have contracts to farmers in that area. We have 268 farmers registered at this present time. And dashing will be plentiful. And this is why I said to my Prime Minister that in the next 90 days, we will have vegetables in excess and we will have dashing, Madam Speaker, because the marketing board has contracted farmers to sell this dashing to them. And if you drive through millet and you drive through the bread basket of this constituency, you will see the green and you will see the dashing on either side of the mountain, Madam Speaker. This is what we call constructive diversification. In my constituency, Madam Speaker, we have looked at the importance of information technology. My government has promised to build an IT center or industrial park in Ansbury. And what we have done, because we believe that education takes you out of poverty. I am in a constituency, Madam Speaker, that has the 2 poorest villages on the island of St. Lucia. And I believe one of the things that take you out of poverty is education. And for that reason, Madam Speaker, we have invested almost $500,000 in forming 4 IT centers. One in Millet, at the infant school in Millet, one in Jacmel, one in Anse-Lore, one in Canaries. And Madam Speaker, this gives us the opportunity to give every child going to school in this constituency an opportunity to use a computer. But we've gone further. These centers will be open at night time also, and they will provide the opportunity for the working people, mothers and fathers, to come in there and learn about computer. Not only that, Madam Speaker, we are training our people in advance for when these IT centers come in. We will have our people well trained. We have engaged in infrastructure, in putting footpaths, in putting building roads. In the Venus area, we have opened up a road to open up more agricultural land. In Debois, we have built a road that people for years could not walk through. Madam Speaker, we are helping with the infrastructure, and we have put that infrastructure in place. Madam Speaker, we have gone as far. If you look at the village of Canaries, the road through that village for 10 years, you could not tell the edges of that road. But if you go down there today, Madam Speaker, you will see the roads have an edge. Madam Speaker, we have taken care of the water problems that we inherited for the Anse-Lore area. For years, the people of Anse-Lore don't have the opportunity to have good, healthy water. We have some of the children there suffering from diseases that sometimes it's difficult for medical doctors to diagnose. But Madam Speaker, under this administration, there is a survey carried out right now to find out the need, the capacity, and all things in terms of, because Madam Speaker, we will be expanding our housing area. The Minister of Housing, we have acquired lands and just went going south on Anse-Lore to develop a housing scheme. So Madam Speaker, we need good water for these things to happen. So Madam Speaker, we are hoping by the middle of the year, some construction will begin in terms of alleviating the water problems. And we are hoping not too long from now, the people of Anse-Lore will enjoy good, healthy water. We are also going to Canaries, because Madam Speaker, we have a problem in this constituency with water. The same problem that exists in Anse-Lore is virtually the same problem that exists in Canaries. And we will be taking care of this. Madam Speaker, we are looking very hard at developing the Canaries area because, Madam Speaker, the village is very choked. We have acquired some land to open up the village to allow the citizens and the residents of this area and people from England that have left St. Lucia who are willing to come back home now because they've been in England for 30 and 40 years to have the opportunity to buy a piece of land and construct a home in Canaries. Our fishermen, we are helping our fishermen. Before I became the representative for Anse-Lore, I put a fad, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, when I walk through this village, you know, people ask you, I want this, I want that. The fisherman came to me and says, listen, we go out to sea, we come back, we catch nothing, but yet tomorrow we have to go, and we have not made enough money to put gas to be able to go back again to see if they can get a catch to come back. So I asked them, let me tell you, giving you this now, it's not going to solve the problem. Tell me what I can do to help this problem. And they said to me, if you put a FAD, this fish aggregate device, it would help. I did that, Madam Speaker. The fishermen, Madam Speaker, went out early in the morning by 12 o'clock. They came back with a catch, which they sold. They went back in the afternoon and came back again, Madam Speaker. This changed the lives of the people, the fishermen in Anse-Lore. And as we speak today, I'm sorry. As we speak today, we have improved and we have increased. We have two out there presently. And we're going to help the Canary fishermen. But also, since Hurricane Debby, a lot of fish pots were lost, nets were lost, and we are assisting in replacing these people, both the fishermen of Anchorage and the fishermen of Canaries. Our Japanese friends will be putting in the fishing complex in Anchorage. They're supposed to start in August, September. This will change the lives, this will change a lot of things in Anchorage, because as you know, we have a festival out there every Friday called the Fish Friday, and this is gaining popularity. It is gaining a lot of popularity internationally, and we have to encourage it. I want to see the waterfront in Anchorage and the waterfront in Canaries develop, because I feel when this happens, it will make a big difference to the lives of the people in these two constituencies. We have a fund, Madam Speaker, because I believe the foreign investors that come to these shores should participate in our development. And I approached Marvin, the guy at the Jalousie Hotel. Marvin, he's developing a new condominium complex in Sofia. So I said that Anchorage and Canaries is the gateway to Sofia. If I shut the gate, you can't go to Sofia. So I said to him that we need help. So as you noticed 2 weeks ago, a trust fund is put in place, and he's promised 10% of the profits. And Ralph Montplaisy, who is of St. Lucian descent, has promised to match it. So, Madam Speaker, when we put a fund like this, if something has to be done, then it helps government to be able to make it a reality. Because, Madam Speaker, money makes the mayor fly. So, initiatives like this, Madam Speaker, helps your community. Madam Speaker, I want to say to the people of my constituency that I'll be there fighting, working hard to change the stigma of being the poorest on the island. I will say to them that if they don't see me today, no, I'm working, because I'm working every day to make sure that the things that will change their life and give them a better life, that I am working towards that. And as I said, when I asked them to elect me as their representative, I told them that I would make a difference. And Madam Speaker, I asked them, be a little patient. With my determination and the support of my government and the support of all the ministers of this government, we will make a difference and we will change the situation. I thank you.